Good morning and a special welcome to all of our visitors who are here today for the grade school basketball tournament. We take our time here this morning in chapel to consider Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Picture, if you will, for a minute, what it might have been like to live under the old covenant. It's hard to imagine what it would be like, isn't it, to live with all of those different laws over you. It's hard to comprehend what it would be like to have all of those severe punishments hanging over your head if you break one of those laws. There were certain foods that you could not eat. There were particular clothes that you had to wear. There were religious festivals that you had to attend. And there were countless sacrifices that you had to make for your sins. And if you missed any of those sacrifices, then there were even more sacrifices that you would have to make. If you touched certain things that were considered to be unclean, you were cut off from the people for a time. And if you committed a particularly grievous sin, you would be put to death. Sounds hard, doesn't it? Seems like a rather rough way to live, but that's what the Lord prescribed in his old covenant. And if the people didn't like the way that this covenant was going, well, that was too bad. This was the only way that God would allow it to work. If they listened and they followed him, he would be their God. If they didn't listen, then he would not be their God. That's the way this contract was set up. There was no negotiation. The people had no say in the matter at all. This was the way that it was going to be. The author of the book of Hebrews offered an interesting description of what this was like to live under this old covenant. He describes it in Hebrews chapter 12. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. This is what the old covenant brought about. It brought about fear. Fear of what God would do to you if you messed up. Fear of what God would bring upon you if you ever dared to cross him. Fear of his righteous judgment that he would bring upon you for breaking just one of his commandments. According to the letter of the law, this was an impossible covenant to keep. Nobody could do it. That fear still rings true today, doesn't it? Whenever we hear the demands of God from his law, don't we immediately still feel those same things? We feel the weight of our sin, and we feel that dread hanging over us. When we hear those words, don't worship any other God but him. Don't ever use his name improperly. Don't ever neglect to worship. Don't ever disrespect your parents. Don't ever harm another person. Don't ever take what isn't yours. Don't ever tell a lie. And don't ever even think of doing any of these things. with these demands, how could we ever come near to God? How could we ever stand before Him? By these standards, we couldn't. But there is a new covenant. The book of Hebrews tells us more in chapter 12. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. This new covenant is different. This new covenant is unique. Fear is replaced with joy. Sin is replaced with righteousness. Hell is replaced with heaven. And how is this done? It's all through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Abel cried out for justice. His innocent death was to be avenged, but the blood of Christ speaks a far better word to us. It says that God's justice has been met through His perfect life and His innocent death. It says that forgiveness has been won so that we can now enter into God's presence. It says that Jesus has done it all. There's nothing that we have to do. We don't have to lift a finger. He has done it all. And He has declared us to be not guilty. Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us once for all. He is the spotless Lamb of God who offered Himself as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. He is the one who died for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance, that is, that wonderful gift of eternal life with God in heaven. And so as we come before our Lord, we don't have to come burdened with our sin. We don't have to come before Him with fear. But we can come before Him with joy, with these words on our lips from Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hopefully you all have a hymn sheet. We'll be closing our chapel worship this morning by singing the first four verses of hymn 2.